You know what I'm thankful for? We have a God that even though we as sometimes believers, and I include myself in this, even though sometimes as believers we act like, in practice, we act like the old person, it still doesn't change the fact that we're a child of God. Forgiven of all of our sins, justified, literally just if I'd never sinned before. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ has done in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And yet Jesus says to him, Simon, Simon, verse 31, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Now this is Jesus speaking. Satan hath desired to have you, Peter, that he may sift you as wheat. When they had harvested the wheat, they would take that wheat and they would throw it up in the air and let the air blow the chaff out of that to literally kind of purify the wheat. And Jesus says to Peter, Simon, he didn't call him Peter, he calls him the wavering one. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. It should have been a warning. It should have been a reality check. It should have been a wake-up call to Simon Peter. And Jesus says, nevertheless, verse 32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, the word converted means you have turned again. Here's what the Lord's telling him. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. He's going to shake things up in your life. Your faith, that your faith don't fail. You're going to go through fire. You're going to go through a test, Simon. Wavering one. Do I have to remind you, Peter, that you are the wavering one? You are the unstable one. But Simon, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. But when you have turned again, aren't you grateful for a God that even when we blow it big time, he forgives us and we can turn again back to fellowship with him? Can I get a witness in the building? We have an amazing God, ladies and gentlemen. He is a gracious God. He is a loving God. He is a forgiving God, because when we mess up, he still loves us. As I was at that Reformers Unanimous meeting Friday night and was hearing testimonies, one of the ladies gave a testimony. And she said, I'm so thankful. She says, I'm so thankful that we have a God of the second chance. Let that get a hold of you. We have a God of a second chance. We have a God of a third chance, often fourth, fifth. As long as you have breath, we have a God that when we mess up, he's a God that forgives. He is a God that restores. He's a God. And God told, Jesus tells him here, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Here's the context. Peter, Simon, Simon, wavering one. Satan's desired to have you. He's going to sift you, Peter. He's going to sift you like wheat. I prayed for you. And when you turn back to me, use what's happened to you. Use your experience. Here it is. Use your experience, Peter, of what it happens when you get your eyes off of me and you stumble, you fall, you go back to the old life and you go back to your old ways. But when you return to me, when you come back to me in repentance and you return to me, you use that experience to pour yourself into other believers so that they don't make those mistakes. So that's the context of why he's writing 2 Peter. Now let me give you the story. We'll kind of flesh this out, what happens. Look at verse 33. Remember what I said? Peter was the kind of person that says, I'll never do that. When I hear people say that, I think to myself, oh, that's dangerous. Well, I'll never do that. Be careful. I'll never have a chihuahua in my house. Now I say, I'll never have 12 of them. Just kidding. You said, oh, Lord, preacher, you said it. Look what happens in verse 33. Peter now is speaking. And he said unto him, Lord, Luke 22:33. And he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both unto prison and to death. Now, here's the thought. I really think Peter meant what he said. I do. I think he was sincere. I think he was sincere in saying, I'll never... Lord, I don't know about the rest of these guys, the rest of these disciples, but Lord, one thing I know, I'll never do that. God, I'll never... Christ, I'll never forsake you. Christ, matter of fact, Christ, Lord Jesus, I'll go to prison with you. And if need be, I'll die with you, Jesus. That's what he said to Christ. Look at verse 34. And he said, Jesus now says, I love the Word of God. And I love when the Lord shows you something you've never really noticed. What does he call him in verse 31? He calls him wavering one twice. Wavering one, unstable wavering one. That's what he calls him. Now what is he calling? Peter. Look at it. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, rock-like character. I tell thee, Peter, this is Jesus, the cock, the rooster, shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Wow. Did you see that? Do I have to remind you who's Jesus is speaking to? You say he's speaking to Peter. Yeah, but remember who he is. He's an apostle, man. He's not just anybody. He's an apostle. He is a man that has a specific call of God on his life. He is a man that has a special privilege of being one of just a select few to have seen the risen Lord. You say, yeah, but preacher... No, think with me. Here's what we ought to do when we read this passage. We're on fire for God right now, and I hope that we are. Here's what we ought to do when we read this. Wow. If it could happen to Peter, it could happen to me. Are you tracking with me? Are you tracking with me? If it can happen to Peter, that I will deny my Lord. And then I will deny, not just deny my Lord, I will deny that I even know him. If it can happen to Peter, it can happen to me. We fast forward in the text of this passage. Skip down now in Luke's gospel to verse 54. So Jesus has been arrested. Verse 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. So Peter now is going to watch and see what transpires in the life of our Lord. He's been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's brought, you know, a mock trial, and all this is happening. Verse 54. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. So Peter, he sits down by the fire. He's sitting down. I think it was Bob Jones who preached, setting down at the enemy's fire. And there he sits. He's sitting down among the ones that have agreed to crucify this Jesus. And as he sits there, somebody that loves Christ, somebody that had served Jesus, somebody that had witnessed the resurrected Lord, somebody with a special call of God on their life. Notice what happens. So this maid says, this man was also with him, verse 57, and he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Number one, that's the first denial. Look at verse 58. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of him, also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. That's the second time he denies him. In about the space of an hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Now, no doubt his speaking gave him away. And he had no doubt would have had an accent. He didn't talk like they did. And they recognized it. Look at verse 60. And Peter said, "Man, I know not whether that what thou sayest." And notice what happens. And immediately, while he yet spake, the rooster crew. Cock-a-doodle-doo, Peter. He said, "Preacher, what's the big deal? It's just a rooster crowing. Roosters do that every morning." This wasn't just any rooster. This was a rooster that was used of God to get his attention. Immediately, the rooster crows. Notice what Peter does. And by the way, this should be what we all do anytime God allows a rooster to crow in our lives. See, sometimes we get out of fellowship with God if we're not careful. Sometimes we get, maybe I'm not talking to you, but I'll say of my own life. Sometimes there have been times in my life that I've got backslidden away from my Lord. There have been times in my life where I've gotten wayward in my walk with Jesus. But I'm so thankful to God that often God brings roosters to get our attention. He brings them into our life to bring us back to him. And here's what our response should be, is what Peter's response was when God allowed that rooster to crow. Look at verse 61. And the Lord turned. Wow. When I see this, I honestly think the only word I could articulate this is wow. The rooster has just crowed, right? Peter's watching Jesus from afar. He sees him. Look at verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. That's significant. Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And notice what he did. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Wow. You know how one of the ways you know if you're backslidden or not? Is if the things of God no longer do anything for you. The preaching of the word of God is a bore. The singing you endure. Coming to church is just a drudgery. I just don't feel. Well, the whole reason you may not feel anything, it might be, honestly, truly, it might be because you're backslidden. You say, "Preacher, what do I do with that?" You need to ask God to forgive you of that. You need to ask the Lord to restore you back to where you need to be. So the Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. Is there hope for Peter? I mean, here's a man. He denies Christ. Another gospel says that he cursed. He cursed and said he didn't know the man. He's back, resorted back to his old cussing days. Boy, when you're not close to Jesus, you say, "Preacher, can you believe he would say that as a Christian?" Yeah, I can. Because he's a Christian that's backslidden. When you're a Christian that gets backslidden, listen, friend, I promise you, it's untold what you and I will do when we're backslidden. The things that we can do when we're not close to Jesus. That's why it's important to stay close to Jesus, right? So we come back to 2 Peter in that context. We come back now to 2 Peter chapter 1. And again, Peter is calling them to remember. Peter says, "I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things. You already know them, but I'm going to remind you again." Why was he so passionate? Because there was a day in his life he had forgotten about some things. He had forgotten. Remember what he writes in chapter 1? Look at chapter 1 again. What did Peter write? What does he write? Now keep it in that backdrop. These verses mean a little bit more now when we read them in the backdrop of what he went through. Look at verse 8. chapter 1, verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, he's talking about these seven characteristics of a godly life, that brotherly kindness and charity and patience and virtue and godliness and those things. If these things be in you they may and abound, they make you, verse 8, that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Who? Interesting wording. Cannot see afar off. What does it say in Luke? Just tying it together. Jesus said of Peter that he followed him afar off. He cannot see afar off. He that has forgotten these things. He that lacketh these things, verse 9. But notice verse 9. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Does that not sound, it does to me, does that not sound like a personal testimony of a man named Peter? I think it does. You think as he's sitting by the fire, he's warming himself by the fire, do we not think, I'm trying to flesh this out and I'm trying to get you to track this, do we not think that as he's sitting there and person after person after person is saying, wait a minute, you're one of those Christ followers. No, I'm not, man. Oh, no, I'm telling you, he's one of these Jesus freaks, man. No, I'm not, and he cusses. Wait a minute. You're a Galilean. They could tell by his accent. They could tell by his dialect. They could tell by his speaking that he identified with Jesus. You do know out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, right? You do know that our mouths tell on us sometimes. Our mouth, I've noticed as a pastor, that oftentimes it is our mouth that really is the big culprit of to know whether or not we're truly right with God. And we're not, maybe we're backslidden. Our mouth tells on us. So we now in this passage, phenomenal passage, and I'm just about done with this, but the phenomenal passage is Peter is calling them to remember. Why is he so passionate, preacher? Because there was a time in his life he forgot. There was a time in his life he forgot what it was like to be lost. He says, you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. If you're here today and you know Jesus as your Savior, you were purged, friend. You were cleansed from your old sins. And those old sins, they don't have to control you any longer. Sometimes, listen, sometimes they will if we yield to them. Sometimes they will if we do not follow Jesus like we should and we follow him afar off. Sometimes they'll get a hold of us. And man, and we act like we are lost. When a Christian acts like they're lost, that's dangerous. You say, why is it dangerous, preacher? Well, because it shames the name of Jesus. It shames the name of Christ. And can you imagine, let's flesh out in your mind, if you will, and let's get down, walk in the text for a moment. Let's go back to 33 years into the life of Jesus. He's been arrested. He's been beaten. He's been accused of crimes he didn't commit. Peter is the follower of Jesus. He's following afar off. He hears the rooster crow. And the Bible says Jesus turns and looks at him. Do we not think, church family, do we not think that Jesus still looks? He still sees, right? He still sees his children. He still sees who we are and what we are and what we do. And the Bible says when Peter heard the rooster crow, Jesus looks and sees him. He turns and he looks. The Bible says Peter went out. He remembered the words. He remembered the word of the Lord. That said, before the rooster crows, Peter, you're going to deny me. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Why was he so passionate? Why was he so passionate? Do you think it's because he did not want you and I to have the same backslidden experience? I think so. Do you think it's because he didn't want you to have to endure the pain of a backslidden condition? Why was he so passionate about putting them in remembrance? Why was he so adamant about pouring the Word of God into their hearts, into their minds? I think it was because that is what it will be. That's what it will take to keep us serving Christ. Don't ever forget, and my prayer to God is, and I say this even to my life, even to myself, my prayer to God is we never forget what he said in verse 9. Verse 8 and 9, that you were purged. The word purged means cleansed from your old sins. Wow. What a blessing it is to be able to stand here and say, on the authority of the shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, stand here and say, I'm not that old man anymore. So, preacher, that's arrogance. No, no, no. I don't mean it to be arrogant. Not that old man anymore. One of the things the director of RU program was saying to a man the other night was, and I absolutely agree with him. He said, one thing that's what the RU director was saying, one thing about our culture is our culture says, once a drug addict, always a drug addict. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Here's the only problem with that those labels. Jesus Christ can change a person. And they're no longer what they used to be. Many of you know Andy Daugherty's testimony. Drug addiction, alcohol, marijuana. God saved him. God changed his life. He's no longer that label. He's no longer those labels. Does that mean that you won't perhaps struggle a little? No, I'm not saying you won't struggle, but my point is you now have been justified by the grace of God. Peter was a cussing fisherman. When he got backslidden, guess what he was? He reverted back to being a cussing fisherman. But God changed his life. He went out and he wept over his sin. You know what's missing, and often what is missing in our churches, what is missing in our personal lives, is a genuine, heartfelt, sorrow, repentive heart over our sin. When we sin, it ought to break us, man. It ought to cause tears in our eyes when we disobey the Lord. You're here today without Christ. We give an opportunity to trust Him as Savior. Repenting of your sin and believing the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, still save you. He'll change your life. Maybe you are, say, preach, I know the Lord is my Savior, but I'm not where I need to be. Hey, did a rooster crow in the church today? Did you hear a Baptist rooster crow? Did the Lord Jesus speak? He does. He will. If you're his child, he doesn't know your... Listen, I hear people all the time say, God's got my number. Let me let you know a little secret. If you're his child, he doesn't have your number. He knows your name. He knows your name. You say, preacher, illustrated biblically. Okay, Simon, Simon. Jesus says to him. The latter part of that same chapter, Luke 22, he calls him Peter. When thou art, turn back to me. When you're converted, Peter, when you turn back to me and that repentive heart, and you turn back to me in fellowship with me, use it. Use that experience to strengthen your brethren. Use your experience of coming back to God to strengthen your brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe today you'd like to come back to the Lord. Maybe you'd just like to come to this altar and just in true brokenness and repentance, come back to Jesus and ask God to forgive you of the way you've acted and done and lived and said things and done things that are so out of ordinary from a believer. And ask God to help you. And now ask God to use that experience to help others. Stand with me, please, for hymn of invitation. Brother Stephen's coming. If the Lord's touched your heart, we encourage you to come. Come down the aisle. Say, preacher, do I need to go to the aisle? Well, you've heard my heart about the altar. You've heard my heart about what a tremendous place this is. Just you and your Lord, getting alone with you and your Lord, and you talk to God about your life. And maybe you need to come back and get back in fellowship with Him. We give you an opportunity to do that. What's your number, brother?
314.
314. You come as we sing. Hymn number 314.